The sermon title today is, Where Did You Come From? As a believer, I am amazed by God's Word every time I open the Bible and every time that I read it. And I am amazed at the teachings of Jesus. I stand in awe of how much God loves us and that how much Jesus loves you and me today. I, Pastor Leo Friel, am a sinner saved by the amazing grace of God. By the grace of God, there go I. And as a church family, we must never forget this. It must be a part of our spiritual DNA to reach others as Christ did. We must remember from where that we came from. We must reach others from where we came from, not from where that we are today. Otherwise, if we don't, our outreach will always have a legalistic view. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 7 this morning. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In chapter 7 of Luke, and if you go to verse 36, we're going to read several verses of this because it is just so very, very good. But Luke chapter 7, verse 36, it says, Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought in an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the head of her hair. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with a fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and another 50, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one that he forgave more. And he said to him, You have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I have entered her house, your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with a fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, Who is this who forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In verse 47, it says, Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. A deep love for Jesus comes from the awareness, number one, of your past, and number two, at the cost that Jesus paid on the cross for you to be able to receive forgiveness. Church, I was so lost, I was unworthy, and I'll never forget that from as long as I live. If you measured me with bad people, you could say, well, maybe Pastor Leo would hit a number 5. I wasn't an 8, I wasn't a 9, I wasn't a 10. But the night I walked down the altar, I felt as low as you could possibly get because I felt the unworthiness of what I was going to receive through the gift of Jesus accepting me, forgiving me, and I praise Him forevermore. Jesus gave His all so I could be forgiven. So I could be saved. Remember where you were and what Jesus did for you. From that point of reference, that's where Jesus wants you to reach others. Now let's explain the reason why. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John in chapter 8. The Gospel of John in chapter 8. In chapter 8, we go over to verse 2. We're going to read verses 2 through 11. So John chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.' Now Jesus in the law commanded us that, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to the woman, 'Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" Of course, the religious leaders had to be involved, right? The Pharisees trying to set a trap for Jesus. Because under Jewish law, this woman that was taken in adultery, she was to be stoned to death. But see, they stuck Jesus in the middle because under Roman law, they couldn't take that into their own hands and do that stoning. So it was against the law, in the Roman law, to stone somebody to death. But it was by Jewish law that they were supposed to stone somebody to death. And you could see the Pharisees, they probably all had a smile on their face because they thought that they had Jesus trapped. And Jesus reaches down with his finger and he draws in the sand or the dirt that is there. And it's amazing because I've heard people say before, because nobody really knows, but that he wrote down, when he wrote in the dirt, he wrote every sin that those people that were standing there had committed. But you see, he bent down and he wrote another time. And that time he wrote and assigned names to those sins. In verse 7, it says, "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He that is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.'" First time he wrote the sin, those that had been involved in the sin. And in verse 8, "And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground." The second time he assigned names to those sins. And I believe that in verse 9, when you look at verse 9, it says, "Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last." I think they just went slinking out. In verse 10, "Then Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" In these two short verses, Jesus offers and extends grace and forgiveness. And listen to me, he doesn't violate the word. You see, so many times we get so caught up that we need to be standing on the word, which is absolutely the truth. That we need to be standing on the Word of God. You've been hearing me say that, preach that for the last 6 months over and over and over, that we believe the Word, we stand on the Word, we act on the Word. But along with that, we have to extend grace and forgiveness. And sometimes people think you can't do both. This is something the church has failed at. In their outreach to the lost, one church comes across as being so legalistic and hateful, and another church comes across as anything goes and everything goes. The answer is yes, we can extend the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and not violate the Word of God. To help us do that effectively, we must remember the reference point. of where we came from and what we were. And that Jesus offered us His grace and His forgiveness right where we were at. There are too many things the church is unwilling to talk about today. We are unwilling to talk about the gay lifestyle. We are unwilling to talk about adultery, fornication, divorce, and abortion because it offends people. It makes them feel off balance. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we're not wanting to hurt anybody's feelings, but we're not preaching the Word of God. So the question is, can we preach the Word of God, be truthful about the Word of God, but at the same time extend forgiveness and grace? And the answer is absolutely yes. But if all we do is carry a sign that says God hates the gay lifestyle and God hates abortion, we will gain nothing. But if our reference point is where we came from, that we offer the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and apply the Word to it, we will reach the lost. Let me ask you a question. Was one of the motivating factors for you to come to Jesus, was it that you were unhappy where you were at? You were unhappy. There was something that was a void in your life. And we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you've heard me say it before, let us create man in our image. And who is there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That you're not only a physical being, but you're also a spiritual being. Jesus told the woman at the well, He says, if you drink from this water, you're going to thirst again, but the water I give you, you will never thirst. Because it will bring fulfillment. It will bring contentment in your life. Those that do not know Jesus are trying to fill the void in their life they cannot fill with anything that is in this world, but that can only be filled through the Spirit of the living God. You found that. And the people that you're going to reach out to are unhappy where they are at. You weren't happy before you come to find Jesus. And that was one of the things that drew you to Jesus, because there was something that was missing in your life. And I can tell you today that there is something as well that is missing in their life. They are not happy. Satan plagues those with attacks. Those that are caught up in the gay lifestyle, they need your love. They need your love because Satan is attacking them and plaguing them as never before. Those that are trying to make a decision of whether I abort this child or whether I not abort this child need your love. They need your forgiveness. They need your grace that is extended to them, and say to them, I was right where you were at one time, and Jesus come into my life, and I will never be the same. You know as well as I do that those people that are caught up in sin are not happy where they are at. And the politicians don't care for them. Oh, we want to accept this. Oh, we want to accept that. Just as if they really care. Well, they do not care. All they want is your X on the voting mark. That's all they care about. It takes the church to bring care and love and commitment and forgiveness and grace and reconciliation through the grace and reconciliation and the forgiveness that we receive through the Lord Jesus. That's why we, as church body members, we need to remember as a reference point where we came from. That we can say to them, I know just how you feel. Lost is lost. I don't care what kind of name you want to put on it, but lost is lost. And if you're lost and you were lost one time, you can relate to other people that are lost and they need your love. Today, many of you are going to watch probably the football game. It doesn't matter who you support. Some people might disagree with me on that, but there's some of you that are going to watch the football game. I know that we're going to watch the football game. I spent $200 in groceries the other day so we could have a Super Bowl party. So, yeah, just me and the two boys, we're going to eat $200 worth of food. We're just going to line the table up and feast all afternoon. But when they show a replay and you watch that replay, you say, well, that's not right, that's not right. And then they show that replay and you think, oh, well, I was right. I was wrong. They are right. But the NFL is not the master of the replay. Satan is. If you've ever done anything wrong in your life, and everybody in this church has done something wrong in your life, Satan wants to play it over and over and over and over. We look at a couple more scriptures before we close. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. It's a familiar verse that you're very familiar with, but 6 and verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." If anybody in this room has ever dealt with depression, then you know what the fiery darts look like. There are the attacks of negativity and the things that he wants to shoot at your mind. And Satan loves to throw enough mud on the wall to see if something's going to stick on the wall of your brain. We have authority over him. As church, we need to always take authority over him. But we take the shield of our faith, the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another scripture, if you turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16. One that you are all very familiar with, and most of you can probably quote it, but John chapter 3 and verse 16. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God loves you. God loved you before you were saved. God loves the sinner. Jesus reached out to the sinner. It doesn't make any difference what the problem is. Don't categorize sin. But look upon it as that they are out of the will of God, and we want to help them get in the will of God by remembering that we were lost in sin, so are they. We can help them come to that relationship. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have our everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Satan is a condemner. God is not a condemner. You go on a little farther, you condemn yourself if you don't accept it. But the condemnation is not from God, it's what do you do to yourself. But Satan loves to condemn. He loves to condemn you. If you, anyone in this room as a saint today, you suffer from condemnation, and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that condemnation is not from Satan. But Satan always wants to run around the mill. "Well, you should have done this, you should have done this. This is what you should have done, and you didn't do it. You didn't measure up. What kind of a loser are you? You shouldn't even be in church." I've heard all these things as a pastor. "He is a liar and a father of all lies," John 8:44 says. And another scripture is our last scripture we will look at today is John 10:10. And you're almost there, so let's go to John 10:10. John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Who's the thief? Satan is the thief. He does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. "I have come that they might have life and that they might have abundantly." Satan is still in the stealing, killing, and destroying business, but I have good news for you. Jesus is still in the abundant life business. If you don't know Jesus, I was in the same place you are. And Jesus offered me grace and forgiveness. And he's offering grace and forgiveness to you today. You say, "Well, Pastor Leo, you don't know my background." It don't matter what your background is. I don't care what you've been involved in. I don't care what the sin is that you've committed. I just know that Jesus is offering you grace and forgiveness. Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "There's not any." "I don't condemn you either." Well, what did he say? "Go and sin no more." You see, he didn't violate the word. He said, This is what it is. I'm offering you this. But just don't go back there. And Jesus offers that to you today. And I wonder if there's anybody in here in this room today who will take my hand and say, "Leo, I have never accepted Jesus, and I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior today, because reaching through me and the lostness where I once was is Jesus, and he's reaching out to you today." Would there be one? If there's one, I just want you to get up and come right down. I just want you to stand up and come down here. I want to pray with you. Would there be one? I'm always here, and I'm only a phone call away if you make that decision that you want to accept Jesus to change your life. Sometimes we are in a hindrance because we don't want to leave what we have been doing, or we don't want to leave what's in our past. There's nothing there. You will always thirst there. He quenches our thirst here. So what you think you have is not anything in comparison of what the availability of what Jesus makes available to you, because they said, I come that they might have life and that they will have it abundantly. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we praise you forevermore for your goodness, for your grace, for your forgiveness. And we thank you, Father, that we can offer that to anyone that we come in contact with, and we can still stand on the Word of God. We praise you for that forevermore. That, Father, you would help us to find someone this week that we could reach out to share either our testimony, the gospel of Jesus, or offer prayer to somebody this week. And I ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray over this congregation that you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them and their families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.